corner kick on the right hand side there. Bob Lyre head round the window and it's just not quite fallen for Rutherford, but the shot goes in and Dorking have taken the lead, and it's a shot from Dan Pybus from the edge of the box, so partially clear from a corner. We're only in the ninth minute. Surprise, surprise on the scoreline, because it says Dorking Wanderers 1, Chesterfield 0. Rutherford on the edge of the box, he's going to have a shot on target. 2-0 2-0 Dorking lead, and it's only 25th minute being played. Alfie Rutherford just got that ball after Chesterfield were in control of it, gave it up once more, and Rutherford in the D shoots home to Tyra's right hand side. Dorking 2, Chesterfield 0. Corner taken short to Jeff King, plays it back to Mandeville. Chip comes in towards the far side. Palmer has pulled one back in the first minute of stoppage time. A short corner worked by Mandeville and King back to Mandeville. He put it on a plate for Palmer, whose downward header was powerful enough to take it beyond Harrison Mayle. So his life in Chesterfield is Dorking 2, Chesterfield 1. Oldacre, his clearance, takes a deflection but falls kindly for Grimes. Grimes has put it across the box and it's given him a great opportunity for another goal, and it's scored. Chesterfield committing absolute footballing suicide as Tom Blair in the 48th minute makes it Dorking 3, Chesterfield 1. Oldacre played it into Grimes. Grimes played it across the edge of the 18-yard area, assuming somebody was there, and there was. It was the Dorking man, it was Tom Blair, and it's in the roof of the net. And Chesterfield, having pulled that goal back just before half time, are two behind once more. Dorking 3, Chesterfield 1, Tom Blair the scorer. And King's giving it away, and all it's lost it. It's an opportunity to burst forward for Rutherford now. He's got one on one with the keeper, he's on the box, he's got a shot in, and he's rolled it in for a fourth goal for Chesterfield. They have been dreadful. Jeff King just rolled the ball, and a run from the halfway line by Alfie Rutherford has made it 4-1 to Dorking Wanderers with 66 minutes on the clock. Chesterfield playing like they're second from bottom with six defeats in the last seven matches, like Dorking have had here at Meadowbank. It is an awful performance from the runaway leaders. You've got to give them something every now and again, but they've given Dorking everything today. Dorking have deserved their lead, and at 4-1, as we come up to the three-quarter hour mark, Chesterfield are going to make a treble substitution here. I think Paul Cook could take everybody off if he could. Listen to the Dorking fans, they're happy. Mark White moving across to the dugout, and Paul Cook, they're embraced. He was very gracious about Chesterfield this week. It was Mark White, wasn't he? Very, very gracious about it, and Paul Cook making sure he shakes everybody's hands. But Chesterfield have not been at the races at all today here in deepest Surrey. They've lost by 4-1. Dan Pybus started the goals rolling on 9 minutes. Alfie Rutherford made it 2-0 on 25. Ash Palmer pulled one back in stoppage time at the end of the first half from a short corner routine. Mandeville's ball in, good far post header from him. And you think, oh, Chesterfield back in it. They've not had a very good first half, but they're back in it. But then within 3 minutes of the start of the second half, Grimes gave the ball away. Tom Blair reacted really well, made it 3-1. And then on 66, Jeff King gives the ball away, and Alfie Rutherford made it 4-1. The next goal looked more likely to come from Dorking than Chesterfield, who had a few chances, but they were never in the game for long periods of the game. They didn't pin Dorking back in their own half at any stage during this game. One or two decent moves, but really, really, really the worst 90 minutes Chesterfield have had this season, bar none, Josh Marsh.
Yeah, bit of an embarrassment, you have to say, from a Chesterfield point of view today, that performance. The result is embarrassing, the performance was embarrassing. And, well, Spyrites, the comfort is they've still got the massive gap at the top of the table. The comfort is that we're still probably going to get out of this division. Very, very probably. But today has not been a performance of champions. They've not stood up to the test of Dorking. Credit to the opposition, they were fantastic. They pressed Chesterfield so well. They hassled Chesterfield. They didn't give Chesterfield a moment's peace on the ball. But Chesterfield just completely capitulated at that challenge today. It was a dreadful performance all around, Phil. You can't say any different to that. You know, we've praised Chesterfield on many occasions when they've deserved praise. They've deserved praise for most of this season, but they deserve criticism today. They were awful.
Well, it looks like Alfie Rutherford's doing the TV interview there, so he'll be getting the charity check from him. But we've been out Chesterfielded by Dorking Wanderers, haven't we, Josh?
Yeah, we have. Dorking with a pressing team. Normally Chesterfield are the team that presses and gets in the face and controls the game and controls possession. But what Dorking did today was, yeah, they stifled Chesterfield. They didn't give Chesterfield any peace on the ball. They forced Chesterfield into mistakes, and there were plenty of mistakes out there from the men in blue today, weren't there? And again, it was simple stuff from Dorking. It was just out running, out fighting, out battling. It wasn't anything too flashy from their point of view. I don't think that technically there was that much difference in terms of the actual ability of the players on the pitch, but there was just one team wanting it 1,000 times more than the other.
And that was it. It was, you know, it's a term that's thrown about in football, or they wanted it more, and I never liked that term because everybody wants it, and Chesterfield wanted it that day. They just didn't put it into practice in the way that Dorking did. That was a fantastic performance from Dorking.
Yeah, Mark White, he'll be absolutely beaming, won't he, from ear to ear. And yeah, like you say, a top performance, and a performance that in the context of the season will give them so much encouragement to stay up. And yeah, I'm sure anyone who watches the YouTube series, of course, will probably have a bit of a soft spot for Dorking. They're a proper football club. But they've given Chesterfield a real hiding here today. A real hiding. I think Kurt's just coming over to find out who I've given my man of the match to. Can we give it to the supporters? No, Palmer for scoring the goal, Kurt. That's all I can think of.
Well, OK, we'll be back for... I think it'll be quite a truncated version of After the Whistle. I just feel it. After this performance, we've just seen Chesterfield badly beaten. Dorking Wanderers 4, Chesterfield 1 here on 1866 Sport Live. Back with After the Whistle next.
1866 Sport. With unrivalled full match commentary for every Spirites home and away game.
Well, praise you, my fat boy Slims, on the Tannoy system at the moment. I think that's aimed at Dorking.
just a little bit. It certainly can't be aimed at the Spirites today.
Anyway, I've just had a message from Justin Tellus, who's the... one of the managers in the academy, the development manager, and he said, just mentioned there's an under 23 game on Monday, 1 o'clock kickoff at Warminster Road, south end of Sheffield, against Tadcaster. So if there's anybody like me who's retired or got nothing better to do on Monday, 1 o'clock kickoff, Warminster Road, free entry, Chesterfield under 23 games against Tadcaster. And Lee Francis, our often commentary partner here, he sort of said, I think Banks should have been playing. And Bob Newton sort of said, at least it's not Gillingham.
Weren't far off, Bob.
Yeah, that refers to when Chesterfield lost 10-0 at Gillingham in 1997. And Bob goes on to say, at 9-0, I rang up Kevin Randall from Cyprus as I was playing there. Said I could. He said, I couldn't get that break at snooker.
Yeah, well, Chesterfield certainly couldn't get any breaks today either, could they, out there on the pitch. But Dorking... credit to them, as we've said, Phil, credit to the hosts who have played so well today, and they've beaten the champions elect, haven't they, and given themselves a real good shot now of pushing on and staying in the division. So fair play to them. It's a day to forget, I think. From a Spirites point of view, it will be a case of let's just put this one behind us and move on to the next game. Just write it off, completely write it off, and move on to the next one, because that's all you can do when you've been beat so convincingly.
Yeah, there isn't any other way to view it as just something other than a one-off. But they've got to prove it's a one-off against Fylde next week.
They have, because Fylde are another team down there scrapping for their lives. They're scrapping for every single point they can get, trying to avoid that drop zone. So they're going to come again absolutely fired up, feeling like they've got nothing to lose. And having watched today's game, feeling that Chesterfield are very beatable and very vulnerable defensively as well. So I'd expect a really, really charged up Fylde team to come to the SMH Group Stadium next weekend. And Dorking have proven that if you get in Chesterfield's faces, they do have Achilles' heels in that team. And I think it'll be a completely different team that we see next weekend. I don't think it'll be anywhere near the same team, because I think Paul Cook will be absolutely furious with some of his players that he's put out there today.
Yes, I think he was saying earlier in the season, and particularly last season, about trust, wasn't he? And I think there's a number of players who'll have taken three or four steps backwards in that department.
Yeah, and let the manager down. A manager who, you know, he's been giving players opportunities all season, hasn't he? And quite rightly, because most of the season, you have to say that, you know, they've been playing very well, and players who come into the team have shown why they've deserved their chance to come into the team. But today was a complete opposite, wasn't it? There were players that came in, I think five changes, wasn't there? Out of those five changes, those five players that have come into the side, can you say that any of them will deserve to keep the place next weekend? I'm not sure you can.
Well, I think Will Grigg had a good game in a hapless battle against Hayden Holley, because he wasn't getting supported at all, because it's that attacking three that are the reliable outlet for Chesterfield, and all three of them, Mandeville, Jacobs and Berry, were all well off their own mediocrity, not just best.
Yeah, again, it's a team game, isn't it, Phil? And the team were second best in all departments, all over the pitch. At the back, Chesterfield weren't keeping it together when Dorkin were putting the back line under pressure. I mean, the third goal summed it up, when Jamie Grimes plays the ball across his own box just under a bit of pressure, doesn't make the right decision. Fourth goal, Jeff King's on his own halfway line, is the last man, doesn't make the right decision. Chesterfield all over the pitch, they looked flustered, they looked like they didn't have an answer for any of the press today. And they just need to, well, there'll be work to do, won't they, on the training ground. There'll be a lot of hard work to do on the training ground this week to, well, restore a bit of confidence probably back in them, because they've not faced a defeat like this all season. They've lost games, but they've lost games being in them. They've not been thrashed or played off the park all season, but they have been today for the first time.
Yeah, the 4-3 concession defeat at Bromley a couple of weeks ago was about Michael Cheek. The two teams were evenly matched on the day. The winner only came in stoppage time, so it was 3-3 at 90 minutes. And the difference was Michael Cheek. But there was no one player who made a difference today. No. It was 10 outfield players of Chesterfield that were at the bottom end of their arc of performances, and 10 Dorking players who, well, we don't know exactly what their arc of performances are because we don't see them often enough, but they couldn't have been much better than they were today.
No, they were fantastic to a man, Dorking Wanderers. Yeah, they really stood up to the challenge. They knew that Chesterfield were going to try and control the game, control the ball, and they didn't let Chesterfield do that. And tactically, they got it spot on. They knew that they had the advantage of knowing how the pitch works, etc., and they played on that, and they made sure that Chesterfield just couldn't get a hold of the ball, and then Chesterfield's response to that was just one of pure defensive capitulation, wasn't it? And wasn't good enough. I think everybody will acknowledge that today wasn't good enough, and all we can do is move on to the next game, because there's still the nice healthy cushion at the top, and we need to just make sure we get that title sealed up as quickly as possible, and then we can all look back and hopefully laugh at that time we went to Dorking and drove 2.5 hours down the motorway to get thumped 4-1.
And in terms of culpability of the pitch down there, less than 2% of the 100% culpability that we could pass around, I would say.
Yeah, the pitch, obviously, we know that Chesterfield are never at the best on plastic, but again, you'd expect a bit of fight, you'd expect a little bit of just wanting your players to be a bit switched on, a bit sharper, at least try and fight to get to the ball first, but we just didn't see that. Dorking were first to everything by a long stretch, and then the second balls, they were first to them as well. So from a Chesterfield point of view, it does need to be better. I'm pretty confident it will be better back on home turf next weekend, but as Paul Cook likes to say, we'll lick our wounds.
Paul Cook's coming across, it looks as though we'll be talking to him before we get views from yourselves. There've been a few lunchtime games. Bristol City 0, Cardiff 1, Huddersfield 1, Leeds United 1, and not quite finished yet, Wimbledon 1, MK 0. Cook is coming up now, the Chesterfield manager. Well, when we were talking at 10 minutes or 15 minutes before kick-off, Paul, I don't think that was a performance you were expecting.
No. I think if you'd be brutally truthful about the game, it was probably a performance from Dorking that we were fully expecting. Very front foot, aggressive, put it on you. We were just poor today, filling every position. Do you know, our supporters have travelled 6:30 this morning, and it's tough for me to manage, because I never like managers apologising to fans and that. I don't believe in it, and I think our lads have got more than one credit in the bank, but that was poor today. That was shocking. That was us not turning up. That was every adjective you really want to speak about the game that's bad was us today. So rather than elaborate on that, we'll keep it to ourselves. We lick our wounds. It's like I always say in football, every day's not a good day. Today's our really bad one, and disappointed, because I felt today if we'd have won before everyone else kicked off, Phil, we probably might be going to do something at home in the next game or two. Now the brutal reality is we're going to have a painful trip home, and that's what the game's about. No different than our supporters, and then we'll take our medicine. But congratulations to Dorkin and Mark. They fully deserved a win today. And apart from Harry making a couple of probably world-class saves, it might have been a bit more. So it's a really tough day for us today.
And after the first half, with turning around at 2-1 with that late goal from Ash, you must have thought, oh, right, we're really seriously with a chance.
No, Phil, I felt the goal before half-time changed the game. Mm. I felt that give us the ascendancy in the game, that we come out, we get talking deep and dominate them. But you know yourself, Phil, and I suppose, if you give goals away like we give away, you're not going to win football games. And it's been a small Achilles heel all year. We all speak about it. You know, the goals against Colham. The disappointing thing for us today, where we knew Dorkin had come on to us, we expected it with the formation Mark picked and the personnel, and we succumbed to it very early in the game. And that's the disappointing thing. But as I say, there'll be no criticism towards player. Like I say to our supporters, you support your team. I spoke to you about this before the game, through thick and thin, and our fans have been through plenty of thin. You know, at the minute, we're in an unbelievable position. We're in a position to die for. There's 10 games to go, and today we've offered our poorest performance of the season today, so that's really disappointing for ourselves and the supporters.
And Josh and I were just talking a couple of minutes before you came up, and we put the pitchers and the culpability of the pitchers less than 2%. That didn't make the difference, did it?
We got caught in possession from the first minute. We didn't do the basics of the game well, Phil, and you'd have to do that. In any game, you've got to turn up and win your individual battles. And if you look on 11v11 basis today, certainly the team in red shirts won a massive majority of them individual battles, and that normally results in the result you get today. So, as I say to our lads, they've been brilliant all year. I can't, honestly, today's probably my first time, even in our defeats at Southend and Solihull, and we've always been had some positives. Today, we haven't got no positives to speak about, other than the fact that we're going into two great home games now at home. And as the supporters know, I'm sure we'll get into our players a tiny bit.
I'll try and find a bit of a positive from you. The two younger lads that came on, Hobson and Curtis, they got in the mix.
You can see their qualities right away. They're going to run through gaps, but we shouldn't be chasing the game, Phil. You can't give, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. The goals we give away, they're not even goals, are they? Come on. They're from the schoolyard, and that's something that... You know, it irks me, but it's something that we've learned to live with. You know, going forward, will you keep living with it? That's the problem.
Bounce back next week, hey?
Yeah, 100%, Phil. And I wish our fans a safe journey home. I'm so disappointed for them today, because we were all looking forward to a good weekend. But like football does to us all the time, it dictates our mood. So
I know.
We'll have a miserable one, and I'm sure they can have one as well.
Yeah, let's all get to KFC or something. Thanks, Paul. Paul Cook, as you know, we'd expect from Paul, calling it as it is. He doesn't criticise his players publicly. He's not going to haul Jeff King or Jamie Grimes or anybody else over the coals today, isn't he? But he knows now how important Fylde is. Every match is always important, but it gets an uber importance, doesn't it, now?
Yeah, well, you want to see a response, don't you? I mean, Chesterfield did very, very well to respond to the what we called the blip, where they went the three games without the win, and they came out at Barnet on Tuesday and put in a fantastic away performance, dug in, won their battles in that game, really, really won the defensive duties, certainly, and then took the chances when they came. And what we saw from Chesterfield today, unfortunately, was the polar opposite of that. It was a performance where they didn't win the battles, where, to a man, they were off the pace. They couldn't let their technical ability get them out of it either, because the passing was wayward at times. Defensively, as Paul Cook said, it was a schoolyard defending is what he's just used to describe it. It was today. Some of the goals that Chesterfield gave away were, let's face it, a shambles. And a manager like Paul Cook's not going to sit there and be happy at all with what he's seen. He's going to get them on the training ground. He'll keep it in house, like you say. He'll not haul players over the coals publicly, but he'll get them on the training ground as soon as possible next week and make sure that they are not going to turn out a performance anywhere near that level of low quality next weekend against Fylde. There'll be a response, I'm confident of that.
And talk about Fylde, they've battled their way out of the bottom four. They started today in 18th position in a really, really tight bottom half of the table. Anybody from 12th downwards could be dragged into the relegation battle. And they've got some good players. They try and play good football. I've always been a big fan of Horton. I think he's one of the best players in the National League. And they've got to be on the metal for that, haven't they?
They have, because, like I said, Fylde are going to have been encouraged by what they've seen. Mm. You know, if any of their players before, obviously I think they'll be playing in 3 o'clock, but if they've managed to catch a glimpse of...
Well, if you saw the first half.
Yeah, on the telly, they'll be very encouraged. They'll think, oh, well, we can put it up Chesterfield here. We can get in the faces and try and force some mistakes and try and get something. Because I think there'll be a lot of teams thinking that in terms of if they've still got Chesterfield to play between now and the end of the season, it's up to Chesterfield to turn back round to other teams in the league now and say, no, you can't beat us that easily. You can't just expect to get in our faces and win. Chesterfield need to come out with a very, very dominant display next weekend to reaffirm their position at the top and show why they got there in the first place.
Well, Mark White looks so he's doing some of his... post-match pressure in the six-yard box from the far side. So what have people been saying, Josh, that's repeatable?
Yeah, he's...
nothing.
it's a difficult one. I'll have to try and vet a few of these. But Stuart Widdowson, we'll start with Stuart, who says, absolutely embarrassing. We look like the side struggling at the bottom. Tim Starbuck says, top of the league, you're having a laugh or an off day. Oh, well, only 20 points clear. Nobody said it would be easy.
Well, still technically, we're still 23.
Well, yeah, until well, you might still be 23.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barnett and Bromley aren't exactly consistent themselves, are they?
So, no, Bromley are playing Halifax at home, who are on the edge of the playoff zone, and Barnett away at Hartlepool.
There you go, two tough fixtures for both of them. And Rod Spurrier says, what are they playing at? Still a number of matches to be won. MP28 said, certainly don't expect to win them all, but we haven't even turned up today.
I think that's the way that I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the feeling. That's going to be the feeling. I think Chesterfield fans will feel, we've backed you in good numbers today. We've come down, you know, 3-hour journey to get here on an early kickoff as well. Yes. We backed you in good numbers and you've rewarded us with that turnout. That'll be the feeling, I think, today. Patricia Walker says, well, what a wasted day all round. This has to be the worst game I've ever listened to. I hope that wasn't because of our commentary. Patricia says, what on earth happened between Tuesday night's brilliant performance and this pile of garbage today? Matt Ashmore said, this is crazy how poor we've been. I was buzzing when I saw the lineup as well. Oh, well, they deserve it and hope they can stay up, talking about Dorking.
But of course, yeah, when you compare Tuesday and today, at least the results are the right way around. If we'd have lost to Barnet and won here, that would have been a lot worse than beating Barnet, and because you've taken 3 points off a rival.
Yeah, exactly. You've kind of gone away from home to, like you say,
I'd rather won both.
If you can call anyone a promotion rival to us this season, I mean, they were the closest team to us going into it, weren't they? Mick Kay says, shocking defending, thankfully 23 clear. Player of the match, my cat Nibs, showing some silky skills with his ball. Feel sorry for the fans, roll on next week. David Gorman says, absolute horror show from the Spirites. Jimmy Peake says, I don't want to hear bad day at the office. Good sides shouldn't be this bad.
So, okay, Jimmy Peake, bad day at the coalface.
yeah, bad day at the on the rubber.
Yeah.
Nick says, need some proper questions. I think proper form questions that we need. We should have lost by 6 or 7 to relegation.
Yes.
He says, Simon says, outthought, outmuscled, outplayed, outclassed. There's always next week. Chili Dog says, a terrible team performance with so many mistakes, coupled with Dorking putting in a massive shift and outplaying us in every aspect of the game.
Paul Cook said that nothing that Dorking did surprised them, and that's about respect. Everything that Dorking did surprised me. They were absolutely on the ball.
I knew they'd be getting in Chesterfield's face. I knew they'd be, because that's the kind of team they are. They know no other way. Apart
but they played good football, didn't
in
they?
In your face, you know, combative, to a man, win your battles all over the pitch football. They will attack you, they will press you, they will be aggressive. That's the kind of team they are. And Paul Cook, I'm sure he expected that. He expected, because that's how Dorking Wanderers play. But the players out there must have not got the memo. They must have just not got the memo and thought, oh, the second from bottom, we'll roll these over. No, not in the National League. Yes. That is not how it works. You have to be 100% every single game or you get nothing. Today, Chesterfield quite rightly got nothing.
Well, as Paul Cook alluded to, we were just having a chat. Well, he had a cup of tea before the game, and I sort of suggested that at 2-0 down against Rochdale, I said, I think that's the first time that the players have taken the foot off the gas this season, and he didn't disagree with that. I don't think they ever had a foot on the gas today.
No, there wasn't really, apart from the goal, which came from a set piece where that was Dorking actually switching off for a moment, the set piece, because they didn't see
King, they didn't pick
position,
King up,
didn't pick him for the short corner, and one bit of quality from Mandeville, a rare bit of quality on the day from Mandeville, found Palmer at the back post, and Palmer attacked the ball well, and that was the one little, at the time, you thought, or a bit of a glimmer of hope that we're coming into this game at half-time still somehow in the game, but then 2 minutes after the whistle blows of the second half, and then Jamie Grimes goes and passes one straight across his own box. And at that point you're thinking, well, that's not about even winning your battles. That's not even about, you know, that's just not thinking. That's just not being switched on and being alert to a situation. And it's basic defensive error. Again, the fourth goal, it's basic defending. That's the worry. And questions were asked after the Bromley game, and they were asked after the Rochdale game when we threw away the 2-goal lead. Questions were asked about that Chesterfield defence. Are Chesterfield's defence, as it stands, going to be able to cut it in League Two at that higher level? And those questions will remain after that, certainly.
And I think what one of the issues for me from a defensive point of view, when Chesterfield are having 65, 66, 70% possession, the defence don't have to defend all that often. But when you've got a team who's battling with you cheek by jowl and they're in your half more than the normal, of course your defence has to do a lot of work. Now, time and again, they did on Tuesday at Barnet, proved that they can do it. But earlier on in the season, when we were having more of the basketball team matches, that's when they were conceding a couple of goals a game. Yeah. And that couple of goals a game has come back in the last few weeks, hasn't it? So
yeah, and I'm sure that Paul Cook as a manager and his coaching staff, that they'll hate people levelling that old adage, they're on the beach now. Mm. They've got the flip-flops on. Season's over for them. They'll hate that. They'll want to be competitive in every single game they play in. So and they'll be telling that to their players, and they'll be saying to their defenders, no, well, you've still got to prove something to us now between now and the end of the season to prove to us that you're good enough to play in the league above, because otherwise we'll be making signings. I'm sure that conversation will be had. I mean, you know, I've not got a crystal ball. We haven't got a fly on the wall in that Chesterfield dressing room, but you can imagine that they're the kind of conversations that the Chesterfield managerial staff will be having with those defenders, because they've let the team down today. But it weren't just the defence, it was the whole team. The whole team was poor, but certainly over recent weeks, those questions will definitely remain about Chesterfield's backline and whether it's strong enough.
Sometimes when you have a stinker, managers, rather than make changes, and Paul Cook always make changes on the rotation, sometimes they put the same 11 in. Would you be tempted for that, Fyle?
To be a bold choice. I mean, he made 5 changes going into this one. But as Paul Cook as a manager, he likes his players to take responsibility, doesn't he? And maybe he does turn around to those who play today and say, OK, go and take some responsibility. Go and put it right to those supporters that travelled down today. And that would be an option. That would be an option. But if I was a manager, I'd be proving my point to them by saying, no, you're not in the team this week. You've let me down last week. And that's your punishment. You know, you have to be at your best. You have to be 100% every week to keep your place in this team, because that's the standards we set at Chesterfield, and you fell below those standards today.
And it was in every department bar, right at the back and right at the front. Harry Tyra, zero culpability for me in that. Will Grigg, zero culpability in that, because he battled really, really, really well. But when you look at the
isolated Grigg
when
today,
you look at the back four, the middle two and the attacking three, none of those, when Liam Norcliffe's doing his numbers, if he gives anybody any of those more than 5, I'm not sure where he'll get them
from. That's it. My number was, if anyone gets above a 5, I completely agree with you exactly. I was just thinking that exact same figure. Yeah. None of those Chesterfield players should get a rating above a 5 today. And it's such a surprise. You think about players like Tom Naylor, who's Mr. Consistent in this side. He went missing today.
Yeah.
I don't like to single players out. Michael Jacobs, an experienced pro, nowhere to be seen.
Well, he gave the ball away 3 times in the first 20 minutes, didn't he? And he's not given the ball away 3 times in his Chesterfield career.
The only players who affected the game, as you alluded to in the interview with Paul Cook, were the young lads, Harley Curtis and Bailey Hobson, coming on trying to prove something. So those senior pros, you know, they've got to look themselves in the mirror after that performance and say, I'm better than that. I'm a better player than that. I'm a professional. I should be doing much better than that. And that's what they'll be saying to them.
Yeah, if I was Paul Cook, I'd be sending somebody up couple of hundred yards up and saying, go and buy a mirror. We'll go down the bus on the way back with a mirror.
Well, I think I'm going to buy myself some good whiskey for the journey home. That's what I'll be looking into, I think, for the journey back.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. We're not going to get a reaction from any of the players. I don't think anybody's going to come out. So thanks very much for listening. Thanks to Paul Cook for coming up and being honest. And Josh and I will be back with Jamie Hewitt next Saturday. And, of course, next Friday evening, there'll be another weekend warm-up with myself and Ellie Yates. Don't forget that. It's always repeated on 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning as well. But ASV filed roll into town for Chesterfield to try and get back on the horse after, well, How do you get back on the horse when you never got on the horse in the first place? Yes, it's a very horsey area around here, and Chesterfield didn't actually see one to go and sit on. So very, very disappointing match, very, very disappointing result, very, very disappointing performance. Dan Pybus put the horse ahead on 9 minutes. Alfie Rutherford made it 2-0, 25. Glimmer of hope when Ash Palmer scored in stoppage time at the end of the first half, but then straight away in the second half, a bad mistake from Grimes let Tom Blair in 3-1, and then a bad mistake by King led Alfie Rutherford in 4-1 on 66 minutes, and the score of the next goal always looked likely to be Dorking Wanderers. So 2,420 watched it, 8-2-8 down from Chesterfield. We'll write it off, we'll try and forget about it, but we've got a week, we haven't even got a match on Tuesday. We'll be thinking about it for a full week until AFC Fylde roll to the SMH Group Stadium next week. So sorry for getting your weekend off to a pretty poor start.
If it's any consolation, our weekends have been ruined too, Phyllis.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're in it together, aren't we?
I know. So, all we've got to look forward to now is a long drive. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next weekend.